Good evening. Well, what a beautiful day we've been given as we start our Lenten season tonight that we call Ash Wednesday, and a special night with our high schoolers helping through many parts of the service tonight, and then a month, well, at the end of the month, I'll say it that way, on March 30th, they'll be helping again. So with as many high schoolers as we're blessed with, half of them have speaking parts tonight. The other half will be on March 30th. So if you're wondering about why your child didn't say something, that's why. Come back on March 30th and they will. God willing. Right, kids? Yeah. So just a couple announcements before we begin. I want to say a special thanks to Mick Huber and Jennifer Herbolt for working with the youth on their special music for tonight. They've worked hard on it, and we're going to sing out with all of our hearts, aren't we? Yeah. The other thing regarding the marriage seminar this Sunday afternoon, if you're thinking about coming and haven't signed up, then I need you to sign up tonight before you leave. All right? The rest of the announcements I will let you read as you have time. So Cody Fisher is going to have our opening prayer for us.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather in the sanctuary this evening in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. We are reminded of the words of John the Baptist when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus, we are here to worship you, the Lamb of God, slain from the creation of the world. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your amazing plan of redemption. Thank you for saving us as we enter into this Lenten season. Help us to fix our minds upon you. Our desire is to draw ever closer to you in our everyday lives. Thank you for being patient with us as you work in our midst by the power of your Holy Spirit. We magnify and exalt your holy name, the name of Jesus Christ. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Cody. Haley?
Please join me in this responsive reading from Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Test, one, two, there, am I on? Okay, thank you. Kaylee and Cody. Let's stand our opening hymn, 302, Lamb of God, and then we'll transition over into 304, if you're looking in your hymnals, which is Behold the Lamb. Of gift of love they crucified. They left him as he died. To what one king they named a flood, and to be said, Lamb of God, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, Lamb of the Holy Lamb of God, oh, wash me in his precious blood, oh, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you had brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, Lamb of the Holy Lamb of God, O wash me in his precious blood, till I am just a Lamb of You may be seated. Hold it close to your mouth. Hold the mic close.
Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Please join me in saying the answer to question number 28 from our catechism. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from his love. All creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved.
Thank you, Addison and Hunter. Thank you. We'll have the Kingdom Kids now, so if the children want to come up, Austin and AJ are going to share with you.
Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 24 says, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it.'"
I have something to show you. You know what this is, don't you? Of course you do. It is a cross. I have several crosses to show you. Here's a cross and a chain that you can wear around your neck. This is a cross made to look like the nails that were put into Jesus' body. And this is a wooden cross.
Every day we see crosses all around us. People wear them as jewelry, they hang them on the wall, and they use them as keychains. When you pass by a church, it is not unusual to see a cross on the steeple. We even see many people who wear the cross as a tattoo on their body. What comes to mind when you see a cross? Jesus, that's a good answer. What does a cross mean to you guys? Jesus died on it to save our sins. It's also a good answer, Trent. Is it just a piece of jewelry or a work of art?
No.
No. Very good answers.
One day Jesus left the crowds to play alone. Only his disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are the one of the other ancient prophets risen from the dead. And you, who do you say I am?" Jesus replied. Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Messiah."
Peter had given the right answer. You would think that would be the end of Jesus' lesson, but it wasn't. Jesus warned the disciples not to tell anyone who he was. "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," he said. "He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." Then Jesus called the crowd of people who had gathered around him to come and join him and his disciples. "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your crosses, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it."
So what does this mean to us? It means that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who was willing to give up everything so that we could have everlasting life. It also means that those of us who want to be his followers must also be willing to take up our cross, give up everything, and follow him. The cross. It is so much more than a piece of jewelry, a work of art, or a decoration on a steeple. It is a reminder of our Savior's great love for us and our call to follow him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die on a cross as his disciples. Help us take your cross and follow him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yep, you guys can, they have a little cross for you, and then get your papers too from the girls over here, okay? From the high school girls. Thanks, you guys. Oh, that's right, yeah. Can you fold up the chairs? And the high schoolers are going to sing for us. Oh, praise the name. So come on up, guys, girls, please. Give that to Kaylee.
Mark 10:32-34. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished. While those who followed were afraid, again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teacher of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise."
All right. Thank you for singing. It was good. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. As we enter this Lenten season, there's so much to think about, Father. We think about the 40 days that our Lord fasted and prayed in the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. We think about the road that leads to the cross during these next 40 days and all that took place in that last week. Lord, I pray that through this Lenten season, you would draw us ever closer to yourself in our walk with you. As we start out this night on the journey, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was given a book, oh my goodness, I suppose close to a year ago, by someone from the congregation, and the title is in your outline there. It's called With Him All the Way. And it was written in 1948 by this minister. Oscar Anderson was his name. And he wrote it as a Lenten series, and I'd wanted to read it a lot for a long time. And so once I knew we were going to Cancun, that was one of the books that went along with me. And I got the whole thing read on the beach and enjoyed it. So some of the thoughts, not all of them, but some of them certainly were things I marked. I actually got another copy for myself because I like to mark up my books, and I didn't want to mark up the book of the one who gave it to me. So anyway, we're going to start here. Up to Jerusalem. The longest highway in the world is the Pan-American Highway. Maybe you knew that. I would be surprised if anyone has traveled the whole thing because it is 29,825 miles long, almost 30,000 miles, the Pan-American Highway. It starts up in Prudhoe, I guess is how I'll say the name, Prudhoe, Alaska, comes all the way down through Canada, all the way down through the United States, across Central America, all the way down to the furthest southern tip of Argentina. Isn't that amazing? For a highway to be that length, it runs through 14 different countries. It can be traveled all by vehicle, of course, except for a 60-mile gap between the countries of Panama and Colombia, and in that area, they call that the Darien Jungle. Maybe you've heard of that. It's impassable. Why do I bring that up? This was one of the things that the author, I just liked how he did that. He said, the longest highway in the world, almost 30,000 miles, is not equal to the road that Jesus Christ took to the cross for us, for our salvation, as he traveled up to Jerusalem. And so in this time, we're going to be looking really at the last lap of him on that longest road, so to speak. All right? Two times in these three verses here of Mark 10, 32 through 34, he says that phrase in verse 32, they were on their way up to Jerusalem. In verse 33, he says to them, we are going up to Jerusalem. Now, you know, the amazing thing, the elevation of Jerusalem is only 2,500 feet above sea level. But you got to realize, right around there, you have the Dead Sea, which is below sea level. They were starting out When he said this, they were right outside of Jericho, a city there, which itself is 800 and, where did I write that? 825 feet below sea level, but it's still land. Where are we at Menno? We're at 1,300 feet is our elevation. So just to picture it, but when you are there, you know, say we're going up to Jerusalem. So it's not really that high at 2,500 feet above sea level. But when you're that low, it is. And like from Jericho, where they were leaving from 825 feet below sea level, in 18 miles, that's how far it was from Jericho to Jerusalem, they are climbing 3,300 feet. That's quite a bit in 18 miles. When we lived in Cameron, Arizona, that was about 4,000 feet Arizona in elevation, and 54 miles south to Flagstaff, 7,000 feet. That was in 54 miles, and that last climb, it was pretty steep. If you've ever been out there, you know it. So how long is this road that Jesus traveled? Was it, when did it begin? Maybe I should say it that way. Was it when he was born in Bethlehem? No. Started before that. Was it with Isaiah the prophet? 650 years before Bethlehem, chapter 53, when he's prophesying all about the suffering servant and everything Jesus would have to go through in that 53rd chapter. Part of it, we considered him talking about Jesus smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, already talking about the cross 650 years before it ever happened. This road is longer than that. How about going back to Moses, 1,500 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, when the people had sinned and they were being bit by the poisonous snakes and scorpions, and Moses cried out to God for them. And remember what God said? Take a pole, make a bronze serpent, put it on that pole, lift it up, and you tell the people, if you look at that bronze serpent, you will be healed and you will live. And that was talking about Jesus. Because in John 3, verse 14 and 15, right before John 3, 16, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that all who believe on him shall have eternal life. That's 1,500 years before. Let's go back to Abraham, 2,000 years before. How about the time when Isaac was finally born? After Sarah and Abraham had waited 25 years for that promise. And he finally gets Isaac, and he's a teenage boy, probably about you guys' age, right here. And God says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, who you love. Sounds sort of like John 3:16, doesn't it? And you go up to the mountain I'm going to show you and sacrifice him there. And we know that mountain where Abraham and Isaac went, where Abraham laid him on the altar, it was Mount Moriah, which is, if not the very place, at least very near the place where Jesus was nailed to the cross 2,000 years later. But what did God do? He provided the lamb. In his place. We got to go back further than that to the Garden of Eden. Is that far enough back? When Adam and Eve sinned and God came to them, pronounced the curse on Adam, on Eve, and then to Satan, Genesis 3:15. And he's already talking about Jesus right there when he says to the devil, Satan, I'm going to put enmity, that's this, enmity between you and the woman, talking about all the way up to Mary, between your seed, all of his demonic forces, between your offspring and hers, and he, Jesus, is going to crush your head, and you will strike or bruise his heel. That's 4,000 years before Christ born in Bethlehem. Is that far enough for this road that Jesus traveled on? We got to go back one step further than that. Revelation 13:8 says, Jesus is the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the earth. That's how long this road is that Jesus traveled on. And that's pretty amazing. And he traveled it by the love of God. He traveled it to the cross for you and me. It can't really be measured in terms of miles, obviously. But I think it could be measured between the verse, John chapter 1, verse 1, that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From that verse in John 1 to Luke 23, verse 33, where it says, and they crucified him there. Some have said the length of that road he traveled on is the distance between heaven and hell. At the end of that road lies the greatest event this world has ever witnessed, and that is the cross, and that is then the resurrection. So, how does Jesus go up to Jerusalem? Number one, if you're doing your outline, with foreknowledge. Foreknowledge means, and we know, in his deity, he knew everything. He could see all the way ahead as far as eternity goes. He went with foreknowledge. Listen to verse 33 again. We are going up, his disciples, those that were following. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise. Jesus, he knew what he was facing down to the smallest minute detail of what was going to happen. It's sort of like as parents, as we do with our children, probably more so with our little children, we get away, we just give them this little details that they need to know, right? Then as they get older into teenage years and they start asking more questions, maybe about a situation, maybe it's a difficult situation that you're going through health-wise or finances. We don't tell all that to the kids, do we? Even though we know it. We probably don't even tell it all to our high schoolers, even though we know it. So when Jesus, what he said in this 33rd verse, he saw every detail. And I want to walk through that just for a minute here with you. When he said, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law, that's what he said. What did he see? What did he know was going to happen? He saw ahead to Judas Iscariot, one who had been with him 3.5 years in the closest inner circle, selling him off for 30 pieces of silver. And then worse than that, on the night before the cross, coming to the Garden of Gethsemane and betraying him with what? A kiss. A kiss of dear friendship. Not just, you know, which is how they greeted each other. He saw that when he said that. When he said next, they will condemn me to death. That's all the details he gave him. You know what he saw in his deity? He knew about the mock trial that was going to follow through the night after the Jewish high priests and them arrested him. He knew about that. He knew about the false witnesses that were going to accuse him with lies. He knew about the judges that were going to scheme against him. That's what he knew. How about next? He said, they will hand me over to the Gentiles. That's what he said to them. What did he see? He saw himself before Pontius Pilate, who just couldn't decide what to do. Of course, it was all in God's plan, of course. Even when his wife warned him, do not do it. Don't have anything to do with him. I had this dream. He sent him over to Herod, trying to get out of it. Herod sends him back. He saw the soldiers beating him. Next, when he said, they are going to mock me and spit on me, he saw everything that was going to happen. You got to think about this, and yet he was willing to go through it for every one of us. He saw that purple robe they were going to put on him, John chapter 19, making fun of him. Oh, King of the Jews, King of the Jews. He saw the crown of thorns they were going to cram on his head. He saw them blindfolding him and slapping him and saying, prophesy to us if you are the Son of God. Who hit you? Who hit you? As they spit on him. I don't know if maybe some have been spit on. Well, I won't say that. I have to think long and hard if I ever even have been. It's not a pleasant thing, is it? When he said they will flog me to them, you know what he saw? He saw himself being strapped to that post and stretched way out. And that whip, he knew it was going to be 39 lashes across his back with sharp bone and sharp pieces of rock just ripping and shredding his flesh every single time. He saw that. And when he said, they will kill me, he saw the cross. He saw himself carrying the cross. He saw himself nailed to the cross, the vinegar, the spear in his side. He saw all that. He knew all that. But he didn't give all those details to his closest ones. You know, when we walk through this life, there's a whole lot of things we don't know about the future, aren't there? We go by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we keep walk by faith with our eyes fixed on him. It's the only way to go. We just go step by step. We sang last Sunday the hymn, Because He Lives. And when I love that verse. I think it's in the second verse because we have so many little ones in the church. And that phrase that says, but greater still the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. It's because he lives, isn't it? All right, secondly, with determination, that's how he went. With determination, verse 33 again, we are going up to Jerusalem. They knew things weren't going to be good there. They knew the Pharisees, teachers of the law, were getting more and more worked up against him. They wanted to kill him if they had a chance. But it says in 32, with Jesus leading the way, we're going. Disciples were astonished. Those who followed behind were afraid. One translation says overwhelmed with fear. Luke 9:51 in the Amplified Bible, another place, talks about him. It says he was determined to go to Jerusalem to fulfill his purpose. And absolutely he was. So guess what? As we're trying to walk through this life following God's will and purpose and plan, not everybody's going to be happy about that. Not everybody is. We're going to run into challenges sometimes from those who we think are the closest to us. How about there was in Mark chapter 8, we've been in Mark 10, but in Mark chapter 8 was another time when Jesus was telling them the same thing. He says he began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. And then he went on with the same what he said in Mark 10. He spoke plainly about this. But guess what happened? Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Think about that. I'm sure after the resurrection and all, and Peter was, I just have to think they probably talked about that moment. And Peter had to be very embarrassed about it. Lord, you know, remember that time and I took you aside? Well, they didn't know. They were his crew, and they were trying to protect him from those that wanted to harm him. Jesus, he's saying, no, that is not going to happen to you. And what did Jesus say? But Jesus turned, looked at his disciples, and he rebuked Peter, and he said, get behind me, Satan. Because he knew that was coming, that thought was not the plan of God. He said, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Sometimes people do. They try to discourage us in following God's plan. We have to be careful about that. With one another, we have to be careful about it. Maybe somebody shares something with us that seems, pretty sort of far out. I don't mean far out as in wrong, but wow, instead of just jump, you can't do that. Maybe it's better that we say, you know what, I'll pray with you about that if you want. That's a pretty big dream, but hey, if that's what God's put in your heart, then let's pray about it. We walk together, and we have to walk with determination through this life, however many years God gives us, because even today, yes, as 1 Peter 5 says, be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What does it say? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. So he went with determination. The third and last part, how did he go up to Jerusalem? With joy. He went with joy. Mark 10:34b, the last sentence in that verse, says 3 days later he will what? He will rise. Yes. And they just couldn't get that. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't have either if I was there. 3 days later, he'll rise. He went to that cross with joy. You know what? We know these verses in Hebrews 12 too. It says this, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down where? At the... Where did he sit down? At the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Okay, all right. That's where he sat down. Consider him, think about him. What did Jesus see? The joy that was set before him when he's going to the cross. Did he just see like the millions of humanity as a big blob of who would believe in him? No, I think he saw every individual by face, by name, from eternity past to all the way to today, and however long before Jesus returns, he saw every one of you here tonight. He saw you high schoolers here tonight, knows you by name. He saw you here tonight singing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. That was part of the joy in his heart that gave him the strength to go to the cross for you and for me. He saw you and every nationality and people group and language of all people that would receive him as their Lord and Savior. He saw your face before it ever happened. I was thinking about the shoeboxes a lot of you do with the Samaritan's purse before Christmas, and we send them off. They go around the world. I know not everybody, but I know many take time and you write out a card to that person because you know it is going to someone, to an individual. And maybe you put a note in or color a picture for them. You see them by faith. You bless them by faith. You pray over that box by faith for whoever that's going to. Jesus went up that road to Jerusalem with joy because he saw each one of us. So as we're walking this road all of our lives, but especially through these next 40 days, think about these things. We walk it the same way. I could say with foreknowledge, our foreknowledge is very limited when it gets down to it. But we trust in him. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, make your paths straight. We go forth with determination. Be strong in him in the power of his might. We go forth with joy because we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and his joy is our strength. Let us go up to Jerusalem. Amen. Bridget, if you want to come, please.
Please bow your heads in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, help us to walk closer with you through this Lenten season. As we think about the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, we surrender our lives to you and ask for you to work in each of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Open the eyes of our understanding as we walk on this road up to Jerusalem with you, one step at a time. Lord Jesus, we think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times we wonder at your gift of life as we look upon the cross where you died. We are humbled by your mercy and we are broken inside. Forgive us for the times that we have doubted you and even denied you. Tonight we surrender our lives to you once again and we say, thank you for the cross, thank you for the cross. Give us the strength to walk with you, filled with determination and the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bridget. We're going to sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me, number 349. You can remain seated. Yeah, you others, come on up, that Jocelyn, too. 349.
I will read from Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Please stand and sing the doxology.
God from whom all blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are standing here in your presence, we bring these offerings before your throne as our act of worship. You've given us your very best gift, your only begotten Son. It is our joy to bring our best gifts unto you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life as a ransom for our salvation. Please bless and multiply these offerings for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Blake. You can go back down to Maverick if you want. Amen. We are going to sing The Wonderful Cross. This is out of the Praise Book, number 115.
please receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jocelyn. And thank you. You may be seated. To all the high school youth, it's a fun service with them. It's a blessing to work with them in the high school Sunday school class week by week. And can we give them just a hand for tonight? Amen. And thank you, Cheryl, for the music too. God bless you.